Picture yourself in front of an audience with no props or costumes or musical instruments to play, just a microphone. Your assignment, get those people to laugh. It's the kind of task that's made many a performer's blood run cold, but it's one that Bo Irvine has taken on for more than 20 years now. Bo makes it look easy, but it isn't. There's a lot of craft and the lessons of experience going on behind the mask, and Bo's with us to tell us how it all worked. Good morning, Bo.
Good morning.
It kind of has to look easy, doesn't it?
Yes. Sometimes it doesn't feel easy, but yes, it's...
Well, I can't imagine how it would ever feel easy.
Yeah, but yes, it has to look easy. If you show any kind of... you don't want the audience to have the upper hand. As soon as they know you're not doing well, they tell you.
It's like I always tell you with wild animals, they can sense fear, right?
Yes, exactly. So you have to go up with no fear.
So how do you get rid of it?
I've been doing it so long. I mean, every day, every night or that I go on stage, yes, I have a little fear. But you get rid of it just by, I get rid of it at the first laugh.
Yeah.
You know that's how, you know, in the beginning it was tough. Because, you know, like I said, you want to make sure you're in charge, and sometimes the audience takes charge.
Well, that first laugh, you know, depends on a lot of things in the audience that are beyond your control, who they are, what their, you know, their whole sort of cultural thing, their age, any number of factors. So suppose you go for that first laugh and you don't get it. How do you adapt to that?
Well, you have to know how to shift gears. Actually, you try to find a common denominator.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you start, you know, it's been over almost close to 30 years now.
Mm-hmm.
You start to, you know when to shift gears, or you listen to the audience, or you find that common denominator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't know the audience, then obviously you have to find them. But then you write jokes, you write jokes that are guaranteed jokes, or you do a current event joke. You know, or something that the people in the town that you're at experience, like in Hawaii, traffic. That's an easy. I mean, tourists know it. You know, shortest distance between two points on this island is under construction. Everybody knows that. If you just drive in the island, so yes.
So in a way, part of the ingredients of a laugh is a sort of a commonality of experience, huh?
Right. You find, you know, if you go into, I think we were talking about that the other night. If you go into a town and you're in Maine and
mm-hmm.
you're talking about, you know, something in the mountains.
Surfing, yeah.
Then it, you know, they have no clue.
Yeah.
Or if you're at a place that has no, you know, people don't do a lot of air transportation and they ride buses and trains, and you're talking about flying in an airplane, they're looking at you like, I've never been on a plane.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you have to find a common denominator, and you have to do jokes that are you know, regional and to them. People ask me all the time, well, you do Hawaii local stuff and then you go to the mainland. Well, I just change it around
mm-hmm.
to wherever I'm at.
So have you got kind of a memory bank in your head of a lot of different jokes in different sort of, file cabinets in your brain of thing?
Yes. People always say, God, you're such a great ad-libber. Well, I'm not. They're just jokes that I've ad-libbed before.
Yeah.
If I get in that situation, it sounds like I'm ad-libbing. And then there are times, yes, that I truly ad-lib, you know, because you don't know what someone's going to say or yell out. But
sure.
In general, yes, I do an hour and a half of comedy now. And I probably have 3 hours. I just can't remember it all.
You know, I've got a friend back in New York who's studying at one of those comedy schools, and he spent years getting 10 minutes together.
Yes.
So an hour and a half—that's a lot.
Well, that's years.
Yeah.
Yes, and you're exactly right. You know, when a young comic comes in and says, "I'd like to come work for you guys," and he says, "I've got 10 minutes," and I say, "How long have you been doing comedy?" "Oh, 3 months." I go, "Okay. Come back in 2 years."
Yeah, right.
And then you'll have 10 minutes. It's not an easy gig. And usually there, that as we were talking about, that 10 minutes, you can't have them on stage anyway.
Yeah. and it might be the wrong 10 minutes.
That's what I'm saying. You can't have them on the stage anyway, right? You know, people when they first start think, and I did too, you know, the things that are not funny are not funny.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about that. Your friends will tell you you're funny. You know, and perfect strangers will go, "No, you're not."
Well, yeah, I mean, we just did a show together over the weekend, and you know, everybody else had something, had something to, so, you know, I had my guitar to hide behind. Singers had their songs to sing. And it always strikes me with a comic, he just gets on stage with just a mic.
Yeah, it is tough. I will say that. But, you know, it's fun. It's a challenge. Like that thing we did over the weekend, that was a challenge. As mm-hmm. you saw, the first night I did different things. And people said, what are you going to do? I said, you know, sometimes I don't even know until I walk on the stage.
Yeah.
You know, I because I'm feeling the crowd. You know, I look out and see who's there and what's there, and I just start off. Hopefully it works.
What kind of cues, when you do that, and you've only got a few seconds to sort of scan the crowd and get the feel
right.
of the room, what kind of cues would trigger some, you know, would let you know what's going on out there?
First, I listen to the crowd. I was taught this a long time ago by a guy named Steve Bluestein. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, when the people come in and they're talking and they're having a good time, it's going to be you're going to have an easy time.
Yeah.
You're going to have an easier time. Let's say not easy, but an easier
right.
time.
Mm-hmm.
If you come in and it's like Borthwick's mortuary and everybody's just sitting there and they're not, you know, I'm serious.
Lost their best friend.
Yeah, they lost a lot of boss, and you're going to go, now you have to work. So
yeah.
then you in your mind, you think to yourself, do I want to do my real work stuff? You know, you have to find that common denominator again. You have to shift gears.
Yeah.
So like the other night I walked out. The first night I didn't do this. The second night I walked out. I said, I live in Kailua. How many people live in Kailua?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I go, can I get a ride home? You know, so that got them. That hooked them to me, you know, because I had a play. And a lot of people, the audience, there were a ton of people, as you heard, screaming from Kailua. So
yeah,
that's the first common denominator with them. They're going to like me because I just brought up Kailua.
And you also sort of, you take a standard intro line and it goes from a cliche into a joke.
Yes.
With the ride home.
Yeah, can I get a ride home? Exactly.
Line, so.
Yeah, I just got here. Can I get a ride? Or, you know, if you heard, you know, the traffic's so bad, or, you know, I just got here. I just flew in from Minnesota.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
So, yeah, so wherever, you know, so you try to find that common denominator.
Well, you made me think, Bo, of the kind of structure that a joke has and how you have a kind of a setup. You know, guy walks into a bar, whatever.
Yeah,
and
right.
There's a thousand standard setups.
Exactly.
And then the setup and the payoff. And between the setup and the payoff and the punch line, timing plays a really important part, doesn't it?
Right, because if you wander on and get too, you know, off into the weeds,
right.
then you lose your punchline. So it's got to be boom, boom. And jokes come in threes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I try to do them in threes. You know, I will tell you, like the driving joke, I'll try to do three things in the driving joke, sometimes four,
mm-hmm.
depending on the that way you're leading them down. You got to tell them the story and then do a punchline. A lot of comics, young comics, I don't want to say a lot of comics, a lot of young comics, they don't understand that yet. You know, and that's something I had to learn. And I learned, I was fortunate. When I started back in the 80s, I worked with some really good guys, you know, mainland comics a lot, you know, and local guys too, really good local guys.
I really think it's an underappreciated aspect of performing arts because it's so, you know, comedy's so hard to understand what is that works and what doesn't.
Yeah, and you know, you have to let it go if it doesn't work. I don't know
yeah.
if that makes sense. You have to let it go if it doesn't work. And a lot of guys will go, this is funny, and I'm going to continue trying to make it funny. It's going to be funny. And you just got to let it go.
Yeah.
Or while you're up there, new material, when I do new material, it's in the middle of my set. Some were buried in the middle. So if it doesn't work, it doesn't matter. It's a throwaway.
Yeah.
And then I will tell the people, well, that joke didn't work. I'm working on that. You know. Or if it really worked, I said, I do a thing. I'm going to keep that one. Thank you, folks. I just wrote that.
That kind of gets them with you.
Yeah, because they know. I work with a gentleman, George Wallace. He'll come up all the time with a pad of paper and a pencil. And I've worked with him. In fact, he was one of the first ones that saw me ever perform back. And he'll do jokes like he's doing new jokes, but he's not. And the people love it because, oh, okay, you guys didn't like that one. And he'll check it off. Or you really love that one. And then he'll throw a new joke in, you know. And so you don't know what he's doing. But his hook is that pad and pen. When he comes up as a guest set. Now, when he has his act, he doesn't do that because now he's up doing George Wallace.
Well, Bo, we'll bring you back as a guest when you've got some new jokes to try out, all right?
No, I don't want to do that on the radio.
You'll never know if they're laughing
exactly.
or not.
Exactly.
Bo, thanks a lot for coming in. It's great to have you.
Well, thank you all very much.
Sure. Bo Irvine is a comedy performer who appears at Honolulu's Halekoa Hotel Tuesdays and Saturdays. And you can learn more about him and his work on our Hawaii Conversation Facebook page.
Everything's y'all. I was at Delta at the counter there at Delta about 6 months ago, 12 o'clock at night, by myself checking in. Lady goes, y'all going to Honolulu? I look around, yes, we are. All of us right here. We're going to Honolulu. Honolulu.